Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Coach, we had a very historic week. It's a lot to talk about. I think the thing that captivated the American public was the fact that the inauguration, the security that went into place after the siege of the Capitol building a couple weeks prior to that, and all the former presidents and their wives that showed up and basically went without a hitch. I think the Biden administration just did a marvelous job on putting that inauguration together. You could see on the mall when they had all of the flags that kind of represented the people that lost their lives to COVID. Just kind of, you know, the things that we want to see presidents do, you know. And it was refreshing. The speech was refreshing. Just to see the people there that represented this country in the past and how much it meant to them to have him there as the president-elect.
Yes, because you talk about somebody that's the oldest sitting president, but also starting out at the age of 29 as a senator of Delaware, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knows politics.
He's 50 years in the game.
In the game, man.
I don't know nobody that's got 50 years in the game.
Probably Bernie
on the level he on.
Sanders. Our boy Sanders, Massachusetts. Yeah, he's got a long tenure there, too. And I believe he is the kind of guy that will reach out to Bernie and say, hey, you know, you ran and you weren't elected, but I still want to have your input.
I think I have Bernie watch the money.
Bernie watch the money.
Yeah, build my economic part for me.
Yeah, well, you know, they got off to a slow start as far as building his cabinet, only for the simple reason that the prior administration just withheld a lot of information, you know. And normally after the election, you know, there's a protocol to the sitting president, incoming president, that you start to share information so you can start putting your people in place, bringing them up to speed, national security, under this, you know.
Intelligence. But then also the codes.
The codes.
As a president, I got, you know, they say push the button. You really got some codes to push the button.
Oh, yeah.
That they give you that's unique to you, that you say, hey, they're going to give you these codes. Like the conversation you have with the next president, he got to have it with Obama.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he, you know, the guy never spoke to him. He never called him up.
Congratulations.
And congratulated him
to the other guy.
At all. Right.
The other guy.
Yeah, the vice president did, but the sitting president didn't. You know, until the day he left, he kept that rhetoric about we got cheated, we got robbed.
Me against you instead of our whole country being united as one.
Absolutely. You know, and the thing that should have really been a defining point is when it went to the Supreme Court, right? He had appointed three members, right, during his administration. He had three people that he selected for the Supreme Court. And if he felt that they were going to jeopardize their position in history by saying, you know, that the elections were tainted, didn't happen. And that should have been it. Once they made their decision, man, the Supreme Court, that's it. That's the legal pinnacle in this country.
He kept on digging, though. Because, you know, when you think of the Supreme Court, he think about some of the justices he put in place. He's like, hey, I put y'all here for me now. Come on.
Right. That's like what he was counting on.
How he called Georgia, like, hey, look, I need 11,129, 28. Just make 11,100 something happen. You know, do get your pencil out, make it happen.
Throw out some boats. Come on, throw them out. Just say they were, you know, it was damaged, they were spoiled, they were soiled. Get them out of there.
He called on the phone.
Yes, he did, man.
He cold. That's a cold brother.
But you know, this is not over. Trust me. The administration that's coming in got a lot of work. Trust me, right? We know they got a lot of work. But you can't allow him to walk away from this thing unscathed. There has to be a penalty for what he did the day that they stormed the Capitol.
People died,
man. That was a disgraceful day when you think about it in the history of America, when only moments prior to that, he was down the street 16 blocks away and told them to go to the Capitol.
And he sat in his tent chilling.
I'm going to be with you, he said. I'm going to walk down there with you, right? And the guy does so many things that these people just don't even give it a second thought. They just react.
He's so smart. He is, Tony. He's so smart. Because he know how to play to the emotions
of certain individuals with a, you know, I can't say a person with a very high IQ, okay, would fall for it just because they have a, you know, a process of thought.
Or you could be so emotionally in charge with your privilege or your racism.
Okay.
Yeah, he could say, hey, jump off this cliff.
You're blind to the, yeah, okay, you right.
Then jump off this cliff and we'll stop everything.
Yeah,
do it just because of the car. Sometimes, you see, when you think about the initiative of hate, Tony, the initiative is, of hate is like, I'll sacrifice my life to make sure you don't get nothing.
Okay. That's it. That's the bottom line.
There's some people out there like, look, I'll destroy it so nobody can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't have a way of life, everybody can't have it. I don't care about me, because if you get it, it's not about what I want. And that's a crazy way of thinking, but there's people out there that think like that.
There were a lot of people out there, you know, and then you look at the amount of votes. And I think some of the people voted for him only from a economic position. Some of the rhetoric that came out around the stock market, what have you. Well, that stock market was in a bull market when Obama left. Okay, he inherited a very robust market, and I, you know, the only thing that he did that may have injected a little bit upward mobility was the tax cuts, right?
And payroll taxes.
Yeah, and I'm not convinced that was it, the stimulus behind it.
No, it wasn't.
Because we are, you know, we as poor folks, our taxes, I didn't see no difference. You know, and most of the entertainers and even some of our own rappers talked about voting for Trump, and the only reason was for financial reasons. Okay, but you cannot look at his legacy from a political standpoint and think that it was very effective. Can't do it.
He got through it. I said he could say this. I ain't quit.
He didn't do the Nixon. Yeah. Nixon resigned.
Y'all couldn't make me quit. What is this?
Impeachment.
You impeached me twice.
And that's not finished now.
And then I know it's not finished, but he's like, he probably, you know, with the kind of arrogance he has and the upbringing he has, the history of his ego over the years and the family upbringing he had from his grandfather, you better not let them people make you quit.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't care what you did wrong.
And it also plays into the fact that he would never admit that he got beat.
That's right.
I'm a loser, right?
Because he left on his own terms. He like, I did the way I wanted to do it.
And stuck to the lie. It's the what it was, the big lie. The big lie is that he won the election.
Yeah.
That's a big lie.
People died. People lost their jobs.
Yeah.
People died. People lost their jobs. People died. People lost their jobs. That was his whole narrative, the 4 years.
Yeah. That was it, man. And, you know, even right up to the end, he never really possessed the kind of empathy that you would want when it comes to the 400,000 people that have lost their lives to COVID and are still dying. Because we know that the federal government never really stood up and did the things that they were supposed to do to help out to reduce this. I mean, it's the simplest is the mask, right? We made an issue over wearing a mask to be political.
That's how good he was at manipulating people.
That's it.
And you know what he reminds me of? And it's like, our audience, I'm an educated brother, but I like the comics. I like comics growing up. I like Marvel and I like DC. Trump's presidency reminds me of a Batman movie that went on too long. And the villain got a hold of something. And Batman took a break. You know, on a new Batman series, Dark Knight, Batman go off to a village or something. He got to learn how to get his skills back, get stronger. And while he gone, the whole nation is under terror, or Gotham is under terror. America has become this dark Gotham for these 4 years. Or it's been like Trump got access to the five rings and snapped his fingers like Thanos and was like,
yep,
bye-bye people, bye-bye jobs, bye-bye your way of living. This is going to be this now, where I'm bringing balance to the world.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
So that's what it reminds me of. And it's crazy to think like that, but after watching those movies and then having it happen, I'm like, this ain't like a bad Batman with a hero never gonna come.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The Five Rings. I don't know if you ever watched the what was that? The Marvel movie. That's when they first
Infinity Wars and stuff like that. Yeah.
What's the guy? Black Panther.
Yeah.
The movie that he showed up in. It was about the Five Rings or whatever, the completion.
And he snapped his fingers, and then half of the world died. And then the next episode, Infinity, when they came back, Tony Stark snapped his, and everybody came to life, but he died. But I'm like, that's what it seemed like.
It is, man.
When he walked in, it was like, I'm just going to snap a little bit.
Right.
It'll get you to like me. But then I'm about to make these people disappear.
Yeah. And so that's history, man.
Yeah, that's where you go. There you go. That's what the inauguration was about. Did they mention him?
No mention. No mention. And rightfully so. Okay. You know, and just a caveat to the inauguration, they was dressed up. They were sharp.
Yeah, they were sharp. Obama wife, Michelle. Man.
She tore it up.
that pea coat and that whatever burgundy she had on.
She was smashing it, man.
Man, come on, man.
Yep.
So my wife, I'm gonna get you an outfit like that. Yeah. I can't get
you get a knockoff like that.
Yeah, I ain't gonna be paying nobody no $7,000. That look the way that was flowing. That outfit.
Yep. Yeah. And the vice president didn't look too bad herself, man. No. She was dressed good.
Yeah, she was dressed good.
And they showed a thing, you know, now they got this thing about the walk, right? And I seen a clip on I don't know, YouTube or whatever, when they're coming in through the White House,
yeah,
and they had the music playing. But see, they just dubbed it on there, and it was like, oh yeah, they stepping. It was neat, man.
Yeah, they was. And then I respect all the women in our country rocking the pearls and the Chucks.
Yeah,
because you know they got the AKAs, and then you know the Chuck Taylors, and you know that's her image.
Kamala,
she one of them sisters. She went to HBCU, so it was all display. But then the person that stole the show was Amanda Gorman, the girl that laid the poem up on the hill.
Did she lay the poem, man?
Man, I got it printed out right here. I'm just going to hit a couple of lines.
Okay.
I think I gave you a copy,
too. Yeah, I missed it. I was on the road.
Yeah, I was watching. I watched the whole thing at work. So I had it on my screen at work, Tony. And while it was on my screen, I'm like, I'm just, you know, paying attention to people talking. You know, I'm listening to speeches. I could do multitask, right?
Okay.
That little girl got, I mean, young lady out there, because she's 22 years old.
Young lady,
right?
Young lady, man.
Yep. So she got up there. And I was like, okay, I ain't too much pain. Say greetings, you know, madam and president. And then she went, like probably one of the best in my world, like one of the best intros to a song or to a memoir or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She came in with a roar, and I'm gonna read the first part. It says, "When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. And the norms and notions of what just is isn't always just is. Mm-hmm. And yet the dawn is ours. Before we knew it, somehow we do it. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. We the successors of a country in a time where a skinny black girl descended from slaves and raised by a single mother can dream of becoming president, but only to find herself reciting for one." I'm gonna stop right there.
Okay.
She was like, look, she just let everybody know, we vice president, but guess what? It's about to come.
Yeah.
A sister coming.
Oh yeah. Well, 4 years, Biden is the oldest sitting president, and we wish him nothing but the best and health. But she is a heartbeat away, right?
That's right.
She's a heartbeat away from being the president of the United States. She's second in command. Kamala Harris.
And her vote matters when it comes to Senate and the House, right?
It's 50-50 in the Senate. 50-50. So if there's a vote in the Senate and it goes down party lines, she casts the deciding vote.
Ooh, a woman holds power.
The majority. Oh, yeah.
It's been like that anyway, and we talk about that all the time. Like even in our own households, if you a married man and you truly married,
yeah,
you can say I run this, I run this, I run this. Which we both know, we both married. You know what time it is.
Yeah, yeah. I run the vacuum cleaner. I run the dishwasher. I run a lot of things.
Yeah, I run the house. I don't run nothing. So basically, I'm there as an assistant to be effective in his mission, call the family.
Okay.
You know, and shoot, she got the last say so. So, there I go. In our country, it's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
The sister got the last say so to say, hey, we're going to do this. All do y'all this. Think this, we're going to do this.
Unfortunately, whether you like it or not, that's how it's supposed to be.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Okay.
Like, I like your ideas. I see you got this money over here. You're going to do this. But this is the best decision for everybody. That's how the mama and the wife do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the best decision. What are we going to do? This is where we're going to spend our trip. This is where we're going to stay. This is what we're going to do with this money. That's what I'm used to hearing.
Okay. 40-something years I've been hearing it.
I was only 12 in. So.
Singing out the same hymn book.
That's right. So I appreciate that, knowing that this young lady see that in herself. But, I mean, the whole inauguration, get ready to end on that. But I'm going into, like, you know, these issues that we got with this money and all these bills he got signed. But just all the themes that stood out. They gave your boy George Bush a lot of love.
Yeah.
It was like, he did what he did. He was what he was. He was a war hero. He the war. He started the wars up.
He started the war.
That was his thing. But he told everybody, this is how I roll. I'm looking for the fight.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Who want to fight? That's what he was always on. Who? You know, like, what? Who? Dave Chappelle even had skits on him, right?
Uh-huh.
With George. Who, what? They got what? What?
Mass destruction. No, we can't have that. We gotta fix that.
He ready to scrap. So that's how he was. I mean, you know, former athlete, everything. He got that mindset. He like, what? Who talking about me? So he had that, but then at the same span, he had respect for this land. I can give him that. And he had respect for people before him and after him.
And, you know, the thing that really stands out to me is that there's political differences because you got Republican, you got Democrats. But I can see a mutual admiration from past presidents,
that's right,
Republicans or Democrats, and it's not about, you know, destroying or dividing this country.
For that position, they like, oh, I served up. I know how hard that is.
Yeah, yeah.
My best wishes to you. If anything I can do, call me, man. I know what it is. You're going to need somebody to talk to sometime about something.
Yeah, when you see Laura Bush, Michelle, Hillary, whatever, They have a genuine likeness for each other. Okay, it wasn't like what took place yesterday, where the first lady always invites the incoming first lady to the White House to sit, have a tour, and just kind of talk about some of the things that are kind of expected of a first lady. But we know Biden, you know, she knows what's expected, but it's just protocol.
Yeah, it's protocol.
Okay, that's what we do. You exchange gifts, right? Yeah. And for them not to do it, to me, is a real character flaw, okay? It moves beyond just the historical expectation of the exchange of power. Now you're looking at the individual as an individual and wonder, why would you take that position not to follow protocol? Has she ever done anything to you? Has she said anything bad about you? She just happened to be married to a man who won the election. He's a Democrat.
Man, I got the greatest example for our community. Why are they talking about politics? I don't understand what they're talking about. This is what it's like, audience. It's like somebody in your family get an opportunity to be in a space in life. They got a little money, the rich uncle or the rich auntie, and all of a sudden, they bring you aboard and say, hey, you about to come into some things. You about to come to some money or something. And they take you in reluctantly. And they like, oh, Chauncey, come on, man. You can sleep on the couch, man. They like, only reason I'm taking you because you about to be the president. Only reason I'm taking you because you my nephew or my little brother.
Okay.
That's the mindset that Trump have instead of saying, hey, you about to come in and do this. We just sit down. Let's figure out how you can make a good segue into what the things I've built up or the things I made mistakes on, how I can show you how to clean this up.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're doing this for the people. Right, we're doing this for the people of the United States. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the people that we represent.
Yes. So that's some powerful swings of, like, not even being, like, for parties. I'm not thinking Democrat. I'm not thinking Republican. I'm thinking about, hey, we got to get our country back.
Yeah.
And I don't know what back is. Back is not MAGA. It's not making America great again.
No, America's always been great. It's not getting twisted.
No, it's not that.
Okay? Always been great. So, and will continue to be great because of the people.
So I seen Time Magazine today. It was a digital image of Biden in his first day in office. And it looked like, man, I'm like.
Man, he's serious.
Like it was ransacked, but it was a cartoon image. Like okay. He was standing looking out the window like. He almost looked like Malcolm X. All he needed was the assault rifle.
Okay.
But he was looking out the window like, okay. And then he was looking at his office. His office desk had the megaphone, had papers everywhere, had some graffiti on the curtains. He like, I got some work.
Yeah, so, man. You know what else happened, man, and I didn't find out till later that they had went in and defecated in that Capitol. That group of people actually went in there and did that, man. Yeah, in the hallways. And it's just like, you know, that was the... That's final straw, man.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. You know, we're going to move on. But
they on camera then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to get him, man. They're still going after him.
They on camera.
They're still going after him. Something happened last night I thought was kind of telling about what we can expect from this administration. It's like 30 seconds. He'd had like a UPS worker, had a teacher, an assortment of everyday people.
Middle class
America speak about the things that are important to them, okay, and what this country is about and what they look for out of the presidency. And it was just telling about, you know, what we've missed over the last 4 years. It's not always about the big business, okay, and I think that's what happened with that administration. They got caught up in making sure that they always catered to big business versus middle class America, because middle class America is what this country is built on. And it's just refreshing to see those people have a chance, have a voice into what is going to take place over the next 4 years.
Man, that's rough. Now I got an article that breaks down some of those things, talking about that middle class, and just one of them was talking about Social Security and Medicare and how Biden's proposing to shore up Social Security by increasing payroll taxes on high income taxpayers.
Okay.
So that's like corporations.
Yeah. The people in the bigger, higher tax brackets.
Don't let them
slide
through that loophole where they're getting the millions back in taxes.
Right.
That should be benefiting our country.
Yeah. So how do a millionaire benefit from Social Security? They don't.
They don't.
That's middle class America.
Yeah. So he also talked about he also proposed raising benefits for low wage workers, surviving spouses of dual earner couples, caregivers, government workers, and those who have been collecting Social Security longer. So then also increasing the annual of living adjustment will go up to 1.3% in 2021. So then that's going to be some things. And also just being able to help with housing, bigger expenses such as health care, and dealing with our senior citizens, and trying to make sure you change that benefit from 65 for Medicare eligibility to 60. And to expand and reduce for the Affordable Care Act to make sure that fits where at the time where it need to fit in.
Yeah, because, you know, baby boomers now are in that age group, okay? And basically what he is saying is that, you know, we have not done enough to make sure that the Social Security can provide for those individuals. And of course, if you go at 60, you get reduced benefits, that kind of a thing. But at 65, you know, you start to get your benefits along with your medical. And that's what he's looking at. That is the biggest portion of the population right now, is that group of people.
And you want to see some sad audience? I want you to do this. If you feel like giving back, because I try to do this once a month. Shoot, sometimes I can't afford it. Go to a Walgreens, a Rite Aid, and just stand in line. Get behind somebody that's a senior citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And watch when they got to pay for their prescription.
It's ridiculous.
You will be amazed on what decisions they got to make about what kind of prescriptions. It's going to make you dig in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it. And I do it every time somebody in front of me, and they say a number, and I'm like, I say, here you go, ma'am. Nobody turned me down yet.
Okay.
But I've heard some numbers, but I can't even. I'm like, I can't afford
it. Ridiculous,
that.
Man.
I've heard $540. I've heard $700.
For prescriptions.
The highest I've heard is, what, $900. If they didn't have some sort of insurance. So the person made a decision on what they was going to get. I was just like, and I looked, and I was talking to another lady, and she looked at me, and she said, young fella, that's how serious it is in this country. Mm-hmm. You got to make a decision on what prescription you need. Most importantly, that's going to at least make it to your next pay first of the month or third of the month. And yeah. I was just like.
Yeah, because you don't get much on Social Security, right? That's the purpose of having a retirement plan. That's why we're always talking about people preparing for retirement. Because if you don't have all those ducks in a row when you retire and you're living off Social Security, $1,500 a month, $2,000 at best, doesn't go a long way.
So if you want to pay it forward, you're talking about, I'm paying it forward, I'm living off of somebody, I'm gay, this dude, stand in the line at Walgreens or something, man. And somebody older than you in front of you, and hear that price they get.
Yeah.
Pay that forward. I've been done it a couple times, and I'm not bragging on myself, but it make you. Because they be like, your blood pressure medicine this much, your heart medicine this much. And I be like, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking like, man, that's crazy. But that's the peekaboo what Biden is trying to fix.
Yeah.
Because the peekaboo is you get a medical bill, and they billing it three times, charging it four times, or they say, oh, this prescription not carried under this carrier.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't gonna cover this cost. They gonna cover only 20% of it. You're like, well, last month they covered 80. Well, they changed the stipulations on it.
Yep, that's part of the Affordable Care Act. Then the flip side to a lot of border towns along Texas, California, people go to across Mexico. The border,
yes,
to buy the same drug, right? Canada, they do the same thing. They go to Canada and buy the same drugs for less than half the price. Now, why is that? Why do we have higher prices on prescription drugs made by the same company than a Mexico and a Canada? It's all about greed, man. You probably remember the story about the EpiPen
that was so prevalent in
schools, where this guy took over the company and raised it, the price, over of 600%. And why?
Yeah, I remember that.
Why? Because I can. Basically what his answer was.
And the price drove up. It was crazy.
They couldn't afford it.
Because people needed it. It'll get it or die.
Yeah, I mean, especially in school programs where kids eat, they try to figure out what they're allergic to. But a lot of cases, if you don't know what you are allergic to,
you have an allergic
reaction, this is what those EpiPens would do. It would counteract that reaction so the person would live. And they raised the price 600% for no reason at all. Same product sitting in the warehouse. He bought the company, and that's what he did. That's big criminal.
Big farm. And so, yeah. So here's an example where he did something where you just change the time, make things time sensitive. So it says, through the executive action, Biden could reverse Trump's administration moves that shorten the Affordable Care Act open enrollment period and relax limits on short-term health care plans, which come with fewer protection than Affordable Care Act, the compliant plan. So basically, like, oh, you're gonna give you a shorter window to sign up for this.
Like 30 days, man.
Yeah, instead of 3 months.
Yeah.
Instead of a quarter.
Yeah.
You 30 days in the wintertime, make it where it's gonna be marked up real bad for they can't get in where they can get in because they're older. They might not have transportation. So we ain't gonna make it easy for them to get it. And then we're gonna have these options that they get one of these options. It's gonna be 20-80.
Okay.
We only gonna cover 20 and they gotta pay 80.
Pay 80. And see, that was one of the things that he thought he was going to get rid of by taking it to the Supreme Court, right?
That's right. And put all the judges in.
Yeah. And the Supreme Court looked at the Affordable Care Act and said, no.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. And it's perfectly constitutional. They're saying the big flip is that if you get penalized if you don't purchase it, don't have any insurance, go to the hospital, and then you get penalized.
That's your fault.
Yeah. They're just trying to build into the system to force you to go do it.
Yeah, or then look at this. Like, we talk about finances all the time. The PIP, when somebody got a car.
Okay.
You got a car accident. So like you said, that's another pathway they was using as a loophole to build people medical insurance.
No doubt about that.
So now when you got your car insurance is low because you got good health insurance.
Yeah.
Now you got this balance when it comes to
your affordable care. Yeah, your rates that you pay for automobile insurance gets lowered because
PIP
was just an insurance program, basically what it was. And if you look at your policy and see PIP, now you have an option. Okay, you have an option now. And it's, that was the reform has been great for the general public. That's it right. Was the right thing to do.
So they just try, he just tried to change up so he can get that loophole with that money.
Well, there's a lot of doctors in Detroit, man, making millions, brother, on this PIP.
Man, it's a lot, audience. We got a lot to share. We got to keep on sharing. We just had to break you in. Biden's on a stroll, talking about free community college. Talking about I've agreed with that too. Forgiving people for student loan debt for under $125,000, at least $10,000. They say he can make an executive decision where he can just hit the gavel and it's on.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't believe in just wiping the slate clean now.
No, I don't either. I worked hard. I worked hard to figure out I wouldn't call them loopholes.
But the system.
The system. I worked hard to figure out the due diligence, to put in the paperwork, to pay the money. To find that balance for me. So I'm like, you can't forgive everybody.
Nope.
If they haven't been doing what they're supposed to do, give them the 10. But if you wanna win, give me all.
Right.
I got 3 years left on my plan. So go on and just wipe my slate. I've been good for 7 in a row straight. So
okay.
That's my call to bite.
Case by case, that's man. Right. Don't make it a blanket approval. Just put together some criteria as to what you gotta do to qualify to get some relief. And put it in place, be it through, whatever system they want to use, through credit unions, banks, or community colleges, somebody that can go through this paperwork and then grant you whatever relief that you qualify for based on whatever that criteria is.
My credit is good, but then I also know this. The debt, the credit ratio you carry. So if you got a student loan debt, you carrying a lot of debt.
You're a lot
so
of
that,
debt.
That affects you when you buy a home. Trying to get an increase in credit limit. So if he wiped that out for me, it's going to show bill paid in full. So that's going to boost my credit because I paid a big balance off. But then it's going to show a payment history. It ain't going to be the one-time magic wand. That ain't going to help nobody credit score if you do the one-time magic wand, right?
Nope.
But he's like, all right, this person got 3 years left. They was paying this. They've been doing it good. They've been good for 7 years. They've been doing it for 62 months. Okay, we take this person. He only got this left. Wipe it out and add it on to the rest of his. So he got 10 years straight. Now, take somebody else that ain't been paying nothing. They've been forbearance for 10 years. Or
they don't get the same treatment.
You can't just be like, I'm wipe him out too. Because I worry about in boosting my credit score. I need that benefit of saying that's $50,000 wiped out. And he really paid $35,000 on that $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
He really did the time frame on paying on something. He did everything right. So don't leave us in the smoke. Please don't.
No. One other thing that we'll close is that what I seen last night was he truly understands the importance of public education.
Oh, his wife. You already know that? Yes, sir. Come on. Keep on going.
Man, our school systems in this country should be the best in the world. We shouldn't be second to none when it comes to getting our children educated, having the tools, the resources, the facilities to get it done with.
Man,
because that's our future, man. And building bombs and aircraft carriers, that's all good. But at the end of the day, the foundation of America is the youth and the people.
That's right, brother.
And we got to spend the money, raise the taxes to make sure that we got the best of the best and our teachers are valued and paid accordingly so we can sustain the growth of America.
That's right. Because when I look at his wife, talking about a former special ed teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
Came in as a sub, just doing a job because she didn't want to be at home.
Okay.
Now she got her PhD, work at community college, believe in community college education, believe in the career trades, the CBE, competency-based education. She with all those keeping it locked into the neighborhood. She was with that. So I'm waiting on seeing who's going to be the Secretary of Education.
Okay.
And she has to work side by side with that person. If she's first
she's going to.
She better be right with
you. Oh, you better believe what, everybody has they stick, right? Every first lady have their stick in this thing. And hers is definitely education. Whoever that person is, they got a partner ready. They got a partner already.
Yeah, she ready to roll. So I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.